Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. As you are greeting your friends and neighbors, would you please pass the peace of God? And if you see someone that you need to reach out for forgiveness, to say, I'm sorry, please do so. Now, would you please greet your friends and neighbors and pass the peace of God? Now may I ask that you please return to your seats and let us begin our worship service with the hymn of preparation. Of announcements that I'd like to call to your attention on the back of your newsletter. Of course, the calendar is always important, but I want to point out that the Main Streeters will be visiting the Greenwood Museum to see the unbelievably intricate, detailed village of Christmas in New York City. If you have not seen that, you are missing a real treat. The Main Streeters will do that and then have lunch, if you'll notice that date. And also, I want to call to your attention that we're doing something a little bit different for the fifth Sunday. The Shell Doula class is sponsoring a Sing the Old Hymns sing-along for the Sunday School Hour. And they are urging all of the Sunday School classes to please join them to participate in this. And if you have a hymn that you particularly like, and I think I'm going to have to turn in my Beulah Land. That's from the old Cokesbury that I love. If you have a hymn that you particularly like, would you please get that to the Shell Doula class? Because they're going to be doing old hymns, and they're going to try to get requests in if at all possible. I also want to point out that we're forming visitation teams. That was in the newsletter. We need everybody to represent Main Street and to reach our first-time visitors or to reach out and encourage those that have come and haven't returned to come back. In your newsletter and also in the bulletin was an item about some changes that are taking place at Main Street. We're getting ready to put a little bit fresher image on this historic, wonderful old church, and we want to explain to you how we got there. The communications committee has hired and gotten really good from one of our members, a historic perspective. We're going to present a new logo. One of our members has given us the name for the newsletter, and we would like to encourage all of you, please come and see an unveiling. It's going to be a delightfully fun experience, and you don't want to miss it, and you don't want to be one of the first to get one of the mementos that we're going to be giving out to folks who come that night. So come and enjoy the surprise. It's going to be a big unveiling. We're not going to have somebody jumping out of a cake, but there will be a cake. So do put that on your calendar and come. You don't want to miss it. Now, let us continue our worship as we get our minds and hearts set to experience the wonderful worship that we have here at Main Street. The acolytes will enter with the light of Christ.
Will all who are able please stand and join in this morning's call to worship? Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest."
Long for our souls to rest in the peace Jesus gives us.
Jesus also said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus invites us to come. It is our joy to say yes to his invitation.
me, please, in praying the prayer of invocation as found in your bulletin. O God of all the nations, you manifested your love by sending your only Son into the world that all might live through him. Pour your Spirit on your church that it may fulfill his command to preach the gospel everywhere. Send forth laborers into your harvest. Defend them in all dangers and temptations. Give them grace to bear fruitful witness to you. Endure them with zeal and love, that they may turn many to righteousness through the same your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And join together in our affirmation of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for today is from the third chapter of Jonah, verses 1 through 5 and verse 10. Listen now for a reading from God's Word. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on a sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Periodically, we sing or recite songs from that great hymnal of the Bible, the Book of Psalms, and we call that a Psalter. But there are other songs in the Bible, and when we set those to music, they are called canticles. From the book of Isaiah, our text comes this morning for the Canticle of Covenant Faithfulness, number 125 in the hymnal. We'll begin with the sung response, which Joyce will play now.
Your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me.
Seek the Lord, who now is present. Call upon the Lord, who is near.
Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts.
Let them return, that the Lord may have mercy on them, that our God may abundantly pardon.
Your face, I seek, hide not your face from me.
For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and return not, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower, and bread to the eater.
Seek, hide not your face from me.
Today's gospel lesson is from the first chapter of the gospel according to Mark, verses 14 through 20. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
In your bulletin, you see the prayer concerns that we have here, that are known prayer concerns here in the church. We ask that you pray for these and for others that you know of. And if there are others to be added, if you call the church office, we'll gladly include them. But let us be in an attitude of prayer. Holy God, as we utilize this time of worship, this time of worship to think about those who have special needs and to think about others that we know of maybe that are not listed here and to pray for ourselves as well. Realizing that as you call these disciples by the Sea of Galilee, that they were just like us, human beings with talents and flaws. And the journey with which they were about to set out upon was not one that was filled just with happy, peaceful days. There were traumatic ordeals. As their lives were being changed into the image that you had for them to become. So, Holy God, we pray. We pray for all of us who are journeying this life together, affirming that we indeed are in the process of being made into your image, and that today nor tomorrow, if we tarry, will we be completely made into your image. But God, we're so thankful that you use us as we are, with our imperfections and all. And in the midst of it, you receive glory and honor and praise. So we pray for these, our friends and loved ones and ourselves as well. For whatever needs they may have, whether physical, emotional, mental, financial, whatever, dear God, we pray that you will hear this prayer, our prayers this morning, and that you indeed will show your glory by answering in accordance with your will. Help us to be submissive to your will. Help us, O God, to lift up your holy name, both here in this sanctuary this day and in our lives as we live daily. Be with our missionaries who have left this week for Honduras. We pray for their safety. We pray for successful ministry. We pray for a fruitful garden where they can plant the seeds of the gospel of Christ that may not sprout up now, but will grow in years to come. Thank you, O God, for those who receive the call to the mission field and for those who have answered. And again, we pray for our country during these days, and for the peace of the world and the peace of Jerusalem, and for those who serve where they're asked to go, both in our military and within our church. Be with our bishop as she leads us. Be with our president as he leads our nation. And we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, would you come, please? Thank you. Holy God, we thank you for this time to give from you of our resources, our tithes and our offerings to your kingdom. Bless these gifts. Let them go forward from here and create a bountiful harvest for the kingdom of God. Bless giver and gift and those who had not or chose not to give. It's to you we give, and may your blessings rest upon us. In Christ's name, amen.
Please be seated. It's time for the children's message, so we'll ask all the children to come forward to the chancel.
How y'all doing today? Everybody doing good this morning? Everybody doing good. Do we have any money for the Heifer Project? Appreciate that very much. Y'all have done a great job with that. Okay, normally I don't stand up, so I'm going to try to get down on one knee for a second. You know, most of y'all know me, and you know I love football. And there are two really good football games this afternoon. And we're looking forward to watching them just like I know you are. But you know, the team that wins is going to be the team that plays together and the team that works together. Because to be successful in anything we do, we've got to work together. Y'all agree with that? Think that's right? Okay. Now, Lucas, would you come up here a second? All right, we got a task for you. Trusty rope here. I'm going to put this rope around me. Now, I want you to pull me. I want Lucas to pull me. Just pull me, Lucas. Alright, Lucas is having a little trouble pulling. Would somebody like to come up and help Lucas? I don't need too many big ones. Y'all might pull you. I don't want you to pull me there. All right. I pulled. Not quite. Almost. Almost. Okay. Now, let's do this. Y'all come up. I'm going to ask Reverend Terry if he'll come down. And Mr. Ballantyne, would you come up, Mr. Ballantyne? And Mary Lynn, would y'all come up? Now, let's come a little bit closer up here. Now, if y'all would get part of the rope, let's let Mr. Ballantyne, you get right here. You get up here. Now, I want y'all to pull me, okay? Are you ready? On three. Now, don't put me on my face. One, two, three. Oh, my goodness! Look at there. Look at there. Thank y'all. You know, what this shows, thank y'all. Appreciate your help. What this shows is when you do things together. And John Wesley, who's the founder of our church, John Wesley's the founder of our church, and he says, we're all in this thing together. We're all in it together. There's a special place for you, the children. There's a special place for the youth. There's a special place for the adults. But when we all work together, when we all pull together, when we all are in the same battle together, then we're going to be able to do what God wants us to do as a church. We're going to be able to make a difference in Greenwood and make a difference throughout our country and the world when we do it together. Just like when all these folks got together, they didn't have any trouble pulling this big old fat guy, did they? Didn't have any trouble. Okay, would you pray with me, please? Thank you, God, for loving us. Help us to serve you. And help our church work together to make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank y'all very much. Anybody else want to try pulling? Oh, that's the
may be seated. This morning we have heard the reading of Scripture where Jesus called four of his disciples, and I would like to make an additional reading in the 21st chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark. And hear now the reading of God's Word. And they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as a scribe. And just then there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him, crying with a loud voice, came out of him, and they were all amazed. As I think about these passages of Scripture that we have read this morning, and I think about these disciples, as they were chosen by Christ there as they were fishing by the Sea of Galilee, I remember a story that was told to me about Jesus after he ascended, and the angels came to him and said, "Now tell us about this wonderful church that you have established on earth." He said, "Well, I left it in the hands of these 12 really 11 men. And they said, "Well, what happens if they fail?" And Jesus said, I have no other plans." We think about being chosen by God to be involved in ministry. One of the things that I think that we need to realize quite readily is that we are chosen with our imperfections and our strengths, our assets and our liabilities. Several months ago, the staff and I met with a individual, and one of the questions that was asked, "Well, what are some of the defects of Main Street?" And then after a while, another question was asked and said, "What are some of the assets of Main Street?" As I think about those assets and those liabilities, and think about myself as a minister and you as a layperson, and certainly I can come up with a lot of liabilities in regard to myself, and I'm sure that you can come up with liabilities in regard to your own self. Now that I have served in the ministry for numerous years, I think about those marriages at a time like this that I have seen break up. And I became aware early on in my ministry that there were good couples who really had good marriages. They just didn't realize it. But they began to reflect upon the defects of one another. And then the next thing you knew, the marriage was breaking up. And in the process, they became aware of just how so very expensive it was to break up a marriage. There was the judicial reality of what it cost to hire lawyers. and then to dissolve the property. And then if there were children, it was only just a few weeks ago that a young person came to me and they were sharing with me about the breakup of their family unit. And the child looked at me and said, and I won't say whether it was a mother or father, but they looked at the child and said, I made a mistake in leaving your father, leaving your mother. I wish I could go back and change it. There are costs involved in marriages. There are emotional expenses that we learn as we grow together as one. There are monetary expenses as you learn to share. And so it is with the church. There are expenses that we face. Some are monetary. Some are spiritual. Some are physical. But there's a price to be paid. And as Jesus called these disciples, they immediately embraced one of the realities, which was to lay down their nets, their occupation, and follow Christ. I served as a jet mechanic for several years in the Air Force. I was out on the flight line during the day. Sometimes it was cold and sometimes hot, but not always. Sometimes pilots flew during the morning hours and sometimes they flew during the night. Most of the time, a pilot would come and I would greet him at the aircraft and he would hand me his bag, or in those days it was him, today it would be his or her bag. And I would place things in their proper containers, and then I would go and meet up with the pilot, and we would continue to walk around and to check the aircraft and to make sure it was ready for flight. It was my responsibility to button up the plane and to get it ready so that the panels were all secured. It was my responsibility to give the all clear to fire the engine. It was my responsibility to pull out the chocks and to get the plane ready to roll so that it could taxi out to the runway. And most of the time, missions were handled and the plane returned and the pilot returned. No damage, no physical harm, but not always. There were a few times when, because of whatever reason, the plane crashed and the pilot died. There is a reality to training. There's a reality to being in the military. There's a reality to the service that we fulfill. As Reverend A. Lamar Torrance said in his sermon entitled The Dirty Side of Ministry, in his words concerning the tragedy of the Columbia explosion, he writes, "President Bush said of the seven astronauts, these astronauts knew the dangers and they faced them willingly, knowing that they had a high and noble purpose in life. When we consider our call to take up the cross and follow Jesus, we too should be aware of its dangerous dynamics and still do it willingly. Our ministry will not always be one of glory and celebration and success. We will be afflicted in every way, but not driven to despair. We will be persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. The ministry we have is like a two-edged sword that heals as well as destroys. One that cuts down as well as builds up. And often when we commit ourselves to taking responsibility for telling others about Christ, we forget about the dark side of ministry, the dirty side. We forget that in this ministry, we not only have to deal with the good, but we also have to deal with the bad and the ugly. It's a dirty job, he says, but someone has to do it. This morning, I'm sure that if we were to ask this congregation, what are the ingredients of a successful church? We would have a lot of statements. I'm aware of some ingredients that I think that a church needs. I'm also aware of what other ministers and churches have found to be successful and have tried, and they're profitable. I receive email after email of individuals who say, respond to this program or to that program and you will have all the money that you need in the church and your church will be growing. But I will tell you the one ingredient that I feel very strongly about. It's the person in the pew. We, as a church, are going to contact evil in this world. It's the devil's job. He knows he is defeated. He knows his days are numbered. And if I mention one word to you that had not been used very often in our vocabulary until in recent years, it will strike all types of responses in your heart, even though I seriously doubt that we have had one to occur within our state, much less our town. And it's called terrorist. What has happened in New York and Atlanta, if you remember, during the Olympics, impacts the way we live. It affects the way we do business. Reverend Torrance made this statement in his sermon. Humorous and cute as that sounds, those spiritual terrorists are doing more damage to our ministry than drug addicts and prostitutes and pimps. Because it is the spiritual terrorists sometimes lurking in our own hearts. And in every church, there are saints bound by spiritual forces, he says, and this is his statement, saints going to hell and saints raising the same. He said, what are you talking about, preacher? He said, let's look at this text where the man was possessed with an unclean spirit. Here was a man who knew who Jesus was, or at least the demons did. He was at the synagogue. He was practicing religion. He was hearing the words proclaimed by Jesus. He knew the right things to say. He called Jesus the Holy One of God. Yet he was found with an unclean spirit. He makes this statement, and I'm sure that it's very familiar to us. You see, everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. Just because you say you believe in God doesn't mean he's ahead of your life. Even the demons believe in God and shudder. And we often think that just because people say that they know Jesus and have a relationship with God, that even with them and in them is good. And we feel that just because individuals may be serving on boards and committees and singing in the choir, working on staff, preaching in the pulpit, maybe having been faithful to the church for years, that they are in a good standing with God, and we call them good members because they seem to be helping our church. But even Jesus said about himself, "Why do you call me good? There is no one good but God alone." Just because we look good, smell good, act good, talk well, doesn't mean that we're clean on the inside and free from evil. In sharing with the DS and some of my ministers as the years have gone by, and I think about what I have experienced in my, as the song said this morning, brief lifespan. And I've seen some of the things that have taken place both in the church and in the pulpit. I say this over and over, I've become aware that the church is a lot bigger than any human person. That the church is of God, founded by Jesus Christ for the well-being of His children. That if the church were not a spiritual institution, that the actions of some would have indeed torn it asunder. But it continues to exist as a body of Christ. If many of us were honest, we will acknowledge that we have some unclean spirits about us. Some evil may be within us, some wicked ways. Maybe some habits that we just can't kick, some lifestyles that we just can't get away from. Some compulsive natures that we just can't control. And we come to the church to get answers and to get deliverance. And so we pray, Lord, deliver us from evil. Lord, deliver us from the desires to always do things our ways, and to go by our feelings and what we think rather than walking by faith and hearing your word. Lord, deliver us from this evil of just coming to church when we feel like it. And when we do come, we bring our own agendas and plans. Deliver us from evil, Lord. Our proneness to worry, our anxiety to always be in control, our refusal to worship, our excuses for and reasons for keeping our arms folded, our lips tied, our legs crossed, when we should be giving you praise and glorifying your name. Lord, deliver us, Jesus. I think about the man who was possessed by demons. He knew who Jesus was. And my question this morning in this sermon is for us, or how do we communicate to others about who Jesus is? I have shared with some of you in my short pastorate here, and you have told me phenomenal stories of being delivered from evil. Evils of addictions of all types. Restorations after time spent in prison. A time when God reached out to you and claimed you as His own. And enables you now to lift Jesus higher and higher. Our praise is not to praise our church, but to praise our Lord Jesus calls us. He calls us as we fish by the Sea of Galilee. He calls us as we work at our desk. He calls us wherever we may be serving out in this world of ours. And He speaks to us and He says, "Feed my sheep." I cannot tell you this morning how Christ may be calling out to you, but He calls you into discipleship. He calls you into this family. He calls you into this community. And He gives to us this great commission to go into all the world to proclaim the gospel. I fully believe that the Church of Jesus Christ has a wonderful future. And I heartily pray that each one of our churches in this town will continue to have a bright future as well. But it's just not for Main Street, but it's for every other church. I think the reality of sharing and the growth of any church rests with the individuals in the pew, willing to share the good news of Christ. Tell me and tell others what Jesus Christ has done for you. Amen. Our closing hymn, number 398, Jesus Calls Us. You're invited to come to this altar during the closing hymn if you wish. Receive now the benediction. Sisters and brothers, whom will you see this week? What will they need? Will you dare to see their need and love them with the love of Christ? In Christ's name, go and be good news.